What are tectonic plates?
Well, in my opinion, it got off on the wrong foot because the tectonic plates very early on were defined mathematically because essentially people like to bring in math and science too early, before the concepts are known. And the minute you start quantifying a process before you understand it, this kind of sets it in cement before the concepts are really known. So in the case of tectonic plates, people wanted to believe that they could define these things on a sphere and describe their motion mathematically. Well, once you start doing that, then people say, well, gee whiz, if we can define these things mathematically, what's the geology going to look like?
Right.
So it basically has a situation where you're defining the geology by math instead of the math defining the geology.
Now, these plates that are shifting on this planet, how deep are they?
Well, at the surface of the ocean, they're right at the surface, a few kilometers down. Someplace in the continents, people believe they're extremely deep, several hundred kilometers deep. In the oceans, they're probably more shallower than that, probably up to about 100 kilometers, a little more than that.
Richard, I've heard stories, I don't know how true they are, that on some coastlines, whether it's the west or east coast, that the land kind of juts out into the ocean, but that underneath it, the ocean could go in for hundreds of miles inside, underneath the landmass, almost like, we're basically sitting out on top of nothing. Is that possible?
Unlikely. We have enough seismic evidence to more or less collect the data from the surface all the way down to great depth. If you had that kind of water extending inland, it would affect the seismic structure. But now that you mention it, one of the most exciting discoveries they've made recently about water is a big chunk of water deep in the planet the size of the Bering Sea they discovered, which is something phenomenal. Nobody believes that there could be that much water at depth, but apparently there's a large slug of water sitting at great depth.
And how do they find that?
Seismically. The seismic waves pick up the fact that you've got this very low-density body sitting in the middle of high-density material, and they theorize that's probably water.
Are these plates constantly shifting and moving?
Yes. Basically, you're talking about slow-moving, intermediate-moving, and fast-moving. The slow ones are the ones that we have, what we call the Atlantic, would be considered a slow-moving plate. By that, I mean it moves perhaps, separates perhaps maybe an inch or so, a couple of inches a year.
Okay.
Where the large, faster ones, the Pacific, much perhaps four or five times that rate.
The Sumatra one literally cracked part of the ocean floor, didn't it?
Absolutely. When you're getting, what you got to recognize, not all earthquakes affect the sea the same way. If you get just the right configuration, as you got with the Sumatra earthquake, you have just the right ability to move enough land mass up or down, which caused the water to move up or down. But if you take the same land mass and slide it sideways, it won't have the same effect. Even though the earthquakes may be the same magnitude, it matters a great deal whether the land is going up or down as opposed to sideways.
With all this incredible technology, aside from elephants that run inland and other animals, why can't we have a good earthquake detection before it happens?
Well, that's largely due to a misdirection of our resources. We have not viewed saving lives as important as other projects that don't have a return on investment. I would specify, for example, neutrino research, which was a $1 billion project to study particles that may not even exist, when that same $1 billion, if expended in geology, probably could have saved 100,000 lives in Indonesia. By saying that, what I mean is if we had ocean bottom seismometer, accelerometers on the seafloor throughout the Pacific, and an early warning system set up in the Pacific, much of what happened in Indonesia wouldn't have happened.
What about the predictor, though, Richard? Is there any kind of technology out there that would give us days' notice that an earthquake is going to hit?
Well, the Chinese have had success. They maybe it was sheer luck, but they actually evacuated a city in China before an earthquake hit, and they saved several thousand lives by doing it. May have been luck. We don't really know, because Right now, earthquake prediction, again, a lot of it is just a question of funding. We don't view it as significant enough compared to our defense budget, you name it. It's not a high priority. We're so worried about terrorism right now, we don't seem to recognize that a big earthquake in California could cause maybe several hundred billion dollars in damage, tens of thousands of lost lives. We're so focused on the media more or less concentrating our attention on certain topics, they sort of fall by the wayside. They don't get funding, you don't get results.